in my car, in an alley, at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Actually, it's the Floridian Peninsula. There was some discussion about this, whether it's a Floridian Peninsula or a Floridian Peninsula. The people who live here, such as myself, are Floridians. Anything that describes Florida is Floridian. Therefore, I'm at the edge, the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. And I am still upset, very upset, at any attempt to, well, I won't even say attempt, at any teaching that leaves the door open to let the Israel gospel seep into our message. Now, I've been on this a lot, I know. I'm going to change the channel. I probably got one more week of two evangel stuff, and then I'm going to do the standalone shows. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. You are going to send those out. Remember, I'm George Patton, and we're going to send out the troops to get this message out. And in my newsletter tomorrow, I will be dealing with the issue I am talking to you about today, because it's important, and I'm still up against Alan Hess teaching that, leaving the door open, I should say, to just same gospel, Israel, circumcision, baptism, law. You can mix it in with Paul's gospel of grace, no works. You can just mix it in. Alan doesn't do that himself, but he opens the door for it by not distinguishing Paul's message from the other writers. That's what I'm here to do, and it upsets me, and I find that, but I'm not rabid about it. I'm methodical. I teach with Scripture. I find that some of the characteristics of those who don't distinguish is carelessness. They're not detail-oriented. And for some reason, those who would not respect the wall around Paul's gospel, they can't see the big picture. And they can't relate scriptures to other scriptures. For instance, they'll look at, and I'm going to show you today, they'll look at one scripture and isolate that scripture not only from the context, but from the whole Bible. That's bad form. I'm going to show you how Alan is doing that. And then I'm going to stop talking about Alan Hess. But this is terrible what's happening. The unstable and the unlearned will be swayed by it. I mean, I'm solid in it. I've been solid in it for 30 years because I've studied it in detail, in depth. I've seen over and over again proof text after proof text after proof text, comparison after comparison. Even after reading the Bible on my own back in 1979, early 80s, I see that there's a difference between Paul teaching law and the other, Paul teaching grace and the others teaching law. But some people are still today trying to, Martin, you need to read this. Martin, you need to read this article by this guy who thinks that Paul and Peter are teaching the same thing. I've been there and done that. I've already read all that stuff. I already know the arguments against it, and I've weighed the arguments against it against proof, and I found without a shadow of a doubt that it's true. So no, I don't have to consider anything else. This is the problem with some in the body of Christ, is that they're not rooted and grounded. I'll use the example of the salvation of all. Most people are solid on that. They know that God's the Savior of all humanity. And if somebody comes up to them and says, well, wait a minute, you need to listen to this video of this guy that says that hell is eternal. You're not going to listen to that video because you know that God's the Savior of all humanity. Well, unfortunately, there are many people who are settled on that and they know the scriptures on that, but they're a little loosey-goosey on other things. But I'm just as firm and established in the two Gospels as I am in the salvation of all. To me, it's just, or the sovereignty of God, let's say. Let's take that. A lot of people know all the verses on the sovereignty of God. God operates all in accord with the counsel of his own will. All is out of him, through him, into him. And so if somebody says, you need to read, there's a great article by this lady who's saying that God doesn't know everything, that the future is up for grabs, and that God himself is waiting to see what's going to happen in his universe. Are you going to waste your time by going to that article? Are you just going to shut it down because you've already looked into it? No, I've already studied this out. I've looked into it. God is sovereign. So you're not going to waste your time. All right. I am just as solid on the two Gospels. So when somebody tells me, oh boy, Martin, you got to read this new article. And when I tell them, no, I don't want to read it. I'm not interested because I'm rooted and grounded in the truth. Oh, you just don't want to look into the truth. You're just closed-minded. What kind of teacher are you? What kind of teacher am I? I'm a good teacher because I'm rooted and grounded. I'm a lighthouse to other people. I'm an anchor for other people. I'm an oak tree for other people that does not blow in the wind. I'm not sitting here blowing my own horn. I'm just telling you how it is. I'm telling you what people have told me because I've been there, done that. For those of you who want me to check out these articles of how there's no such thing as Paul having a distinct message. Been there, done that, my friends, 3 decades ago. And now I'm an oak tree. I'm a lighthouse. But some people think that it's beneficial to be like a lighthouse on a boat. Well, you know, tell me what good a lighthouse on a boat is. You put a lighthouse on a boat, it goes all over the place. Mariners want to navigate by that lighthouse. Oh, this is interesting. Somebody told me today, Martin, I'm not good at studying, but I listen to your videos, read your articles, and it sounds very solid. And this person said, I'm not an evangelist myself, Martin, but I'm good at parroting what you say. And I was delighted by that. Why? Because I parrot Paul. And Paul parroted Christ. Nobody invented this. Parrot me all day. It has nothing to do with me. I'm parroting Paul. I'm parroting the scriptures. Paul didn't get it out of his own head. He didn't dream this up one night. He got it from Christ. Parrot away. It's not like I invented it. So when people say that, I suppose not many people could handle having that said of them. I parrot your teaching. Oh, no. I will say, search the scriptures to see if the things are true. Like the Bereans did, they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. Found out it was. So yeah, search the scriptures. I parrot Paul, which is parroting scripture, who parroted Jesus Christ. But back to the lighthouse. You're going to navigate on a floating lighthouse, but many people think that that's great to be open, to be fluid, to be able to have your mind change. Yes, we must be open-minded. We must give everyone a fair hearing. No, you don't owe anybody or any. You don't know, owe everybody a fair hearing. You don't. I organized a conference for 13 years in Willard, Ohio. I lived in Greenwich, Ohio, out there on U.S. Route 224. The conference was in Willard at the place called The Depot. I think the first year was at the KFC Hall. But anyway, if somebody showed up there, and this actually happened, somebody showed up, they saw a bumper sticker on somebody's car. I think it was the car of George Opik. George Opik was this fun guy from Ontario, Canada, and he had like stickers on his car saying there's no hell, crazy stuff like that. Funny though. And some standard issue cookie cutter Christian came by and got the great idea that they were going to straighten out these crazy people at the depot in Willard who believed in the salvation of all. And this guy wanted to address our congregation. I said, basically, no. Yeah, I think it's basically what I said. I think I was more polite than that. I might have said, get the hell out of here. I don't think I said that. I just said, no, you're not going to have a platform here. Aren't you open-minded? No, I'm not. I'm not open-minded. I believe the scriptures. I believe the declarations of God. Take a hike. I run a tight ship. And most of you appreciate that. It's not easy running a tight ship. It's not easy being a disciplinarian and being rooted and grounded because you're accused of being stubborn. You just don't want to look at evidence, Martin. Please look at my evidence, please. No. No. I figured this out a long time ago, okay? Okay? So, oh, and I find this characteristic to be common among those who would mix the Gospels. It's almost, this is what it is. It's almost a political correctness that says, well, everybody's right. We all come to be one. And I'm going to talk about this idea of one. One body, one expectation, one baptism. You're going to love this. Well, we have to be one. We're all joined in unison. We sing kumbaya. Someone singing Lord kumbaya. Someone screwing up the scriptures, Lord, kumbaya. Someone's failing to distinguish figures of speech, kumbaya. No, Lord, kumbaya. They got this oneness idea, and they think that any sort of segregation, oh, that's a bad word, segregation, segregating Paul from the rest of the Bible, they think that it's politically incorrect. You're just not showing very much love. Where's your love for Peter? Where's your love for James? We're all one big happy family. No, we are not one big happy family. What world are you living in? One big happy family? Dude, Paul says that there is no fellowship to be had between light and darkness, between righteousness and lawlessness, and all these diametrically opposed things, Christ and Belial. But besides that, we have to be, those are major, major differences. Peter and Paul, you have these two guys, they were friends. They hung out together. They had beer together. So it can't be said that one of them was righteousness, one of them was lawlessness, one of them was light, one of them was darkness. No, can't say that at all. So within those giant bookends, you have sub bookends, and in those sub bookends, you have one proclaiming the gospel of the circumcision, one the gospel to the circumcision. I had another guy telling me, Martin, you need to read all these commentaries. How come you're trying to convince me that it's the gospel to the circumcision and the gospel to the uncircumcision? Trying to convince me that it wasn't two separate messages. It was just the same message going to two separate places. And you will not believe the argument given to me. Martin, 99% of the commentaries say two, even though the words of, these commentaries will agree that the proper translation is of, gospel of the circumcision, gospel of the uncircumcision. They agree with that. But when you read, I read a couple of these stupid commentaries. When you read them, they say, yes, of the doesn't mean the character of, it just means to the. They just change it. It's like insane. It's ridiculous. So this person telling me to read these commentaries, he comes after me saying, 99%, you're ignoring 99% of the commentators. You're just relying on little concordant commentary on the New Testament. And I said to him, why don't you check out for me what those 99, what your 99 commentators there are saying about 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity. Find out what they're saying about that. Obviously, the answer would be 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Those commentaries are just standard Christian down-the-line commentaries. So, of course, they're going to miss 1 Timothy 4:10. They're also missing the two evangels. I told this guy, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ignore the 99% that's wrong, and I'm going to go with the 1% that's right. It's like, I was supposed to be intimidated by that number, 99%. Ooh, 99% of the people are wrong. So I'm going to go with that because it's two nines? I'd rather go with the one that's right. I will happily ignore the 99 that are wrong.
and I'm going to go with the one that's right.
Okay. So, in the camp of those who would mix everything in, there's only one. There's only one. There's a political correctness. There's need to have unity at all costs. Unity. They don't like segregation. It's a bad word. And there's an emotion. It's emotional, mainly. And there's very much tendency to, again, miss the big picture of Scripture, not to look in the context of the context or the context of the entire Bible. And it's emotional. And it's politically correct. It's emotional. And yeah, and there's a failure to think critically. Yes. That I find alarming. Alarming. Among teachers, even. A failure to think critically. I could give you many excuses, but I'm not here to tear anybody down. Except Alan Hess. Not as a person, but as a teacher who, unfortunately, is in an anathema condition because, as I said last week in the newsletter, although he's not overtly pushing a mixture of law and grace, he is teaching grace. He is. But he's not distinguishing that wall around Paul's gospel. He's not guarding the borders. He's not on the wall because he doesn't think there is a wall. How could you guard the wall if you don't even think there is a wall? So he's allowing, by his teaching, allows this ebb and flow between law and grace. He's not doing it himself, but allows it. And part of his message, he can call it Paul's gospel all day. I can't understand. I wish Alan would answer this. How can you call it Paul's gospel if you think it's just an amplification of the circumcision gospel? Anyway, here's a big mistake right here. Numero uno big mistake is this. Alan says in video number 2, which is called Why Paul's is the Only Gospel, part 2, says, there's now no difference between the Jew and Greek. In another place he said, what is Paul saying here about Jews and Gentiles? They're the same. There's no difference. Most of you probably already know where I'm going with this. Alan's taking this from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that once you, the nations, Paul's the apostle of the nations, so he's addressing the nations, in flesh, who were termed uncircumcision by those termed circumcision, in flesh made by hands, that you were in that era, he's talking to the nations, you were in that era, as the era before Paul got a distinct revelation, apart from Christ, being alienated from the citizenship of Israel and guests of the promise covenants, having no expectation and without God in the world. That was the condition of the nations before Paul. Now look, yet now, I'm in verse 13. In Christ Jesus, you once who are far off are become near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who makes both one. There it is, both one. But watch this, and raises, that is, destroys the central wall of the barrier, the enmity in his flesh, nullifying the laws and precepts and decrees, that he should be creating the two, what two? The nations and Israel, into one new humanity, making peace. He should be reconciling both into one body. There it is. There's the key. He reconciles both, Jews and Greeks, into one body to God through the cross, killing the enmity in it. That's all I need for that. So now Alan looks at that and says, see, there's no difference between Jew and Greek. So what's all these people? That's what he says. He says, that's contrary to this coinciding two gospels. That does make a difference, don't it? I'm quoting Alan there. So he's saying, well, Paul's saying that the two become one, that there's neither Jew nor Greek. And then Alan says, that goes against what these people like Martin Zender are saying, that there's two gospels. Paul says he makes the both one. Ha ha. Here's the mistake, and this is a huge mistake. It's rather common in some circles, but this is it. Reconciling both into one body. into one body. I just quoted you verse 16. It might be the beginning of verse 17. Hard to tell in the concordant version. Ephesians 2, 16, 17. Read those both verses, you'll get it. Reconciles the two in the one body. You see, there's neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. But Alan's making the mistake of saying there's neither Jew nor Greek, and he's applying it universally. That's the mistake he's making. Says there's neither Jew nor Greek. In the body, there's neither Jew nor Greek. But even as Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians, there was at the same time another body of people called the circumcision, where your nationality is important, where the Jew does have priority. Remember, I told you, when members of the nations started responding to Paul's calling, lots of them, they were going, whoa, this is great. Some of the Israelites also came over. Some of the Israelites heard Paul's message. After all, Paul himself was an Israelite. And the first thing that a member of the nation, or that an Israelite, no, yes, that a member of the nations, like an Ephesian type person, when they heard that the Israelites are coming in, they go, oh my God, yep, here we go. It was cool to them if there was just a few of the dogs, a few of the nations. They're feeling all good. But as soon as an Israelite who had an antenna for it heard Paul's evangel and forsook the circumcision evangel to come over, I just imagine this. Human nature, that the nations would have been deflated, like, because, yeah, okay, here comes an Israelite. We're under him. We're second class. Paul says no. Paul says no. You're joint enjoyers. He says in Ephesians 3, the nations are to be joint enjoyers. God, why the hell do I have a problem? Joint enjoyers of an allotment and a joint body, joint partakers of the promises in Christ. It's joint. Joint partakers. So Israelites do not have preeminence in Paul's gospel. That would have been the question of the day. That would have been as soon as the Greeks, you see the Jews coming, oh God, now we're still second-class citizens. Paul says, nope, not in the body of Christ. He makes the two one. He makes the two one. This is why that teaching was important in the body. He makes the two into one body. And this is only true in the body of Christ. You must see that. It's only true, one body. Because he makes them all into a new humanity. That's body of Christ truth, new humanity. A new humanity dates back to Adam. When Paul's bringing in that term humanity, that's huge. It goes back to Adam when there was one. There was no Jew or Greek. When one, Paul says we're a new Adam through Christ. And this is advanced. And at the same time Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, Peter existed in his little world and he had his circumcision guys. But see, Alan's making a mistake of applying this universally. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither Jew nor Greek. How can Zender be saying then there's two gospels? So there's neither Jew nor Greek. In the body only. Paul is not talking about in the whole world. Because there's Peter over there. And then, you see a mistake? And I think when Alan sees this mistake he made, I think he'll see it. I don't know if he watches these videos, but this is it. And then when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I'm entreating you then, I, prisoner of the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, all humility, all meekness, endeavoring to keep the unity, okay, I'm not dissing unity, but I'm talking about a unity within the body, a unity of the Spirit with a tie of peace, one body, one Spirit, according as you were called also with one expectation of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay. Alan could easily take this and say, well, Zender, it says right there, one body, one baptism, one expectation, yet you say there's two evangels. Yes, of course there are two evangels. Galatians 2:7 says there is, but it's obvious that Peter is doing his thing with the circumcision. And read Peter's letters, read James. They're retaining their expectation. There's one calling, one expectation, one baptism in the body of Christ. But it doesn't preclude there being another group over here with another baptism, with another expectation, with another calling. I'm broadcasting to you from the United States of America. We have one national anthem, one currency, one motto, one flag, Well, Martin, how can you say that? What about France? What about Germany? What about Mexico? What about Canada? Yeah, they have one flag, one motto, one currency. Probably have one national bird, too. I don't know. Our national bird's the bald eagle. I don't know what the national bird is up in Canada. Someone from Canada will have to write to tell me. But look who Paul's writing to. If I'm broadcasting exclusively to members of the United States, to citizens of the United States, I say with pride, there's one anthem, one flag, one people, one motto. Is that all? Is it true? Yes. Is there unity? Yes. U.S. citizens. But at the same time I'm saying that, there are hundreds of other countries out there with their own anthem, their own flag, their own motto, their own goals, their own principles, their own baptism, if you will, their own expectation. It doesn't preclude that. The mistake is a very simple mistake. This is what I mean, is not looking at the whole scriptural context. You have to look at the entire context of the scripture. You can't get excited and say, look, it's one baptism, one expectation. Look, it says right there, one body. Because there are some people who would split the body of Christ. I know some teachers who take the body of Christ and they split it. But Paul's saying, no, there's one in the body of Christ, there's one body. One body. And what I mean by looking at this in the context of the entire scriptures, you go to other verses, and obviously the circumcision gospel has their own thing. What do you think those Jesus told Peter in the 12? In the Renaissance, when the Son of God returns, you will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How is that? Makes the two one, makes Greeks and Jews one. How does that? It's not that. It's the opposite of that. There's still a great distinction, even in the 1,000-year kingdom, between, especially in the 1,000-year kingdom, what do I mean, even in the, especially, between Jews and Greeks. There's no Greeks sitting on the 12 thrones. I have to tell you this. Every single apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. Oh my God, Jesus is racist. Yeah, in a way, he's not racist. Oh, yeah, he discriminates. Because that's part of the circumcision. There's another baptism there. Every single one here in Ephesians 4, you apply it to the circumcision. One body, one spirit, according as you were called, one expectation, one calling, one faith, one baptism. That applies equally to the circumcision. You can say that about circumcision. As Paul is the apostle to the nations. And that's who he's writing to. The nations. There are Jews who are joining the Greeks in the one body. But his message as the apostle of the nations is the message he got from the glorified Christ, who brought him a new evangel called the evangel of the uncircumcision, just in a way to distinguish it from the gospel of the circumcision given to Peter. Beautiful verse that puts it all in a nutshell. Galatians 2:7, Paul said, I was entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. That's my story, and I'm staying with it.